Holocaust indoctrination. School education. Many genocides were committed during the history of mankind. The worst of recorded history is probably the auto-genocide perpetrated in Cambodia by the Khmer Rouge between 1975 and 1979. Up to a third of the entire Cambodian population is said to have been slaughtered during that time. In absolute death toll figures, the genocide against the indigenous peoples of what later became the United States of America rivals that of the transatlantic slave trade of sub-Saharan Africans, also committed mainly by post-Columbian invaders of North America. However, there is only one genocide that is compulsory teaching at high school level in many countries around the world, the Holocaust, against the Jews, by Third Reich Germany. It is not only taught as part of history lessons on the Second World War, but also as a topic of literature studies. Books such as Elie Wiesel's Night, or The Diary of Anne Frank, are compulsory readings in many middle and high school classes around the globe. While teaching history is fine, teaching skepticism and scrutiny is even better. However, student skepticism and scrutiny of the orthodox Holocaust narrative would get many students in trouble, and in many countries even in conflict with the law. Teachers supporting such mature behavior face disciplinary measures. Teachers voicing any dissent themselves are removed from their position and become unemployable in every country where the orthodoxy holds any sway. In many countries, they even face criminal charges for quote-unquote denial. Forcing lessons down students' throat under threat of punishment for any dissent is not called teaching. This is indoctrination, plain and simple. Museums and memorials. Wikipedia lists 84 Holocaust memorials and museums across the United States of America. While there are many historical sites and museums dealing with slavery and the fate of indigenous peoples, there is no such thing as a memorial or museum in the U.S. or any other Western country dedicated to any genocide committed abroad, Cambodia, Ukraine's Holodomor of the 1930s, or any other large-scale massacre, such as the Bolshevist Revolution in Russia and its aftermath, or Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution. None of these massacres took place in the United States, or were contributed to in any meaningful way by that country. Therefore, it stands to reason that it is not in the center of the country's commemorative activities. But the same is true for the Holocaust. The situation is no different in other Western countries not involved in the Holocaust, such as the UK, for instance. But there as well, the Holocaust has taken commemorative center stage. The reason for this is that neither Ukrainians, Russians, Chinese, Cambodians, nor any other ethnic group which suffered a genocide has any powerful lobby group in the US or any other Western country that successfully managed to impose its own historical perspective and priorities onto its host nation. Only Jewish lobby groups have managed to accomplish this feat by way of vast wealth, political corruption, and incessant indoctrination. Media, movies, and literature. The number of media articles, news reports, book and movie releases, dealing with the Holocaust in one way or another, is simply staggering. Throughout the years since the turn of the millennium, on average more than 4 new books on the Holocaust were released every single day. The situation is not much different when it comes to movies. The screening of so-called documentaries peaked during a time when Jewish lobby groups were pushing hard to get compensation payments, mainly from German and Swiss companies. The trend seems to have been receding a little after that, see the illustration in the printed or online version of this entry. There is no historical topic about which so many movies have been made, as on the Holocaust. Some are documentaries, but most are fictional movies presumably based on real stories. The cultural dominance of the Jewish historical perspective and priority in all Western countries is absolutely mind-boggling. For all those who jump onto this bandwagon, there's truly no business like Shoah business. For everyone else, it is a steady indoctrination of non-Jews, imposing Jewish perspectives and priorities upon them. In effect, it washes any thought of dissent or resistance out of the consumer's mind. Instead, it recruits them to welcome and embrace denying the dissidents any space to voice their views. It makes the brainwashed mind accept any restrictions of civil rights deemed necessary to suppress those who disagree. It solidifies and perpetuates Jewish cultural dominance. After all, Where would we end up if we allowed anyone to oppose the Jews? Whatever that means, well, it is claimed, the Jews would ultimately end up, once again, in an Auschwitz-like gas chamber. Thus, anything is warranted to prevent that from recurring: burn the books, jail the dissidents, and throw away the key. One small problem: there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz. For more details, see the entry on censorship, as well as Dalton 2020, pages 279 to 286.